This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. 12 Tampa Bay locations, and of course, so many locations around the United States and around the world. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. Go boneless. 10 boneless wings shaken in one of Hooters' signature sauces with a side of fries for only $9.99 all day, every day. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983, and the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My thanks to Bobby Pena, manager at the Hillsborough Avenue Hooters, for prize contributions for my golf tournament coming up this Sunday. We are full for Todd Wright Tour XII. This is my 12th event where I combine picking football games with your play on the golf course. I don't sell mulligans at my tournament. Instead, I try to uniquely give advantages in other ways, and this is my annual football tournament where, depending on how well you pick NFL games, you will get strokes off your golf score. It's kind of like a guaranteed mulligan rather than trying to hit a better shot or make that eagle or birdie putt. So thanks to all of you who are playing in the golf tournament at the Eagles. For those of you that didn't make this tournament and are interested in future tournaments, save the date. It's one of my biggest annual events. You know how the NFL leaves a weekend open between the conference title games and the Super Bowl, and we're without football for that weekend? That's why I have an annual golf tournament there. So the last weekend of January, save the date. That will be the next big golf tournament. You can always email me at the ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com or even ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com for more information. Okay, so as I'm recording this on Friday morning off a wild Thursday night in the NFL for Raiders Chiefs and also for fantasy purposes, fantasy players, this was a game that likely involved at least one player for you. Certainly, fantasy MVP Kareem Hunt. I own Tyreek Hill. I was very pleased by his game. Alex Smith, who has been a very popular quarterback pickup, sort of this year's Matt Ryan, a quarterback who probably wasn't even drafted in season-long leagues and now has become very valuable on an every-week basis. David Carr looked much healthier, put up a huge game. Michael Crabtree with the late touchdown. And I've been telling you, Amari Cooper owners, don't panic and drop Amari Cooper. And if someone in your league is selling low on Amari Cooper, pick him up. And last night, despite some more questionable hands, Amari Cooper had a huge game for the Raiders. And for those of you, though, that did overdraft Marshawn Lynch and have just been hanging in there, giving every excuse possible, now's the time you drop him. Yeah, that's my recommendation. Because clearly he's going to be suspended for a while. If you played him last night, it's virtually a zero for you in a running back spot. And he just doesn't have it. What he still has is a bad attitude. What he doesn't have is beast mode running ability. And obviously Travis Kelce was another guy who got his share of volume last night in a another good Thursday night game. The better the Thursday night games get, the worse the Monday night games get. All right, let's go game by game. We'll go even through the Monday night game, although we will have a new podcast for you on Monday. So in no particular order, let me just give you thoughts on each game. New Orleans and Green Bay, the thing that certainly stands out about this game is what it means fantasy-wise with Brett Hundley at quarterback for the Packers instead of Aaron Rodgers. What it means in its simplest form until we see more is that where you would have normally expected Jordy Nelson to be a wide receiver one, he's more of now a fringe wide receiver two. Devontae Adams, kind of the same way. He's a tick down. Randall Cobb, maybe in the flex play consideration. Martellus Bennett might not be as much of a factor if you've been streaming him or trying to get by with him. And we'll see what it means for the running game. If opposing defenses now are going to focus a little more on stopping Aaron Jones, and what it means for the timeshare of Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery going forward. We speculated after the Dallas game that Mike McCarthy might see enough in Aaron Jones to basically start using Ty Montgomery again as a wide receiver primarily, either in the slot or just on down and distance. So we just don't have a lot to go on as it relates to what the Packer offense will bring us. So I say tread lightly with your Packer players and just don't have expectations that Hundley can put up the numbers for your Packer fantasy players the way Rodgers did. After this game, we should get a better idea of the way opposing defenses are playing the Packers. Saints coming off a strong defensive performance, at least with the two defensive touchdowns against the Detroit Lions, and they gave up a lot of garbage time scores. But it's not like Green Bay is going up against one of the top defenses in the National Football League here with Brett Hundley under quarterback. Let's see how they attack, how they choose to run their offense. For New Orleans, last week it was probably just an aberration for Michael Thomas that he puts up basically 1 point or 2 points in a PPR league in a otherwise 52-point win for the New Orleans Saints, where virtually everybody got in on the action except him. For the Saints, Michael Thomas is still clearly a wide receiver one. Another solid game for Ted Ginn, who stays in the flex play, or if you need a wide receiver two based on bye weeks or just a weakness in the roster, he is in the consideration. He almost had two touchdowns last week, and despite Adrian Peterson's success in Arizona, his absence didn't hurt the workload, the volume, and the production of the Saints' two backs in Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. For Carolina and Chicago, Cam Newton is again fantasy relevant. Whether the Panthers win or lose, Newton also getting yards on the ground, even in the Thursday night loss to Philadelphia. Newton's fantasy volume is back up. Some of you might have other options by now. I get that. But Newton is back on the fantasy radar as a quarterback you can use each week. As far as Kelvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess, Benjamin is about 30 yards better in production the last few weeks than Funchess. The targets, though, are still there for both in the absence of Greg Olsen. And the running back situation, Carolina's running game basically is Cam Newton. They are too predictable otherwise. Jonathan Stewart has become a magnet for opposing defenses to adjust to him being in the backfield and making sure that he doesn't have any room to run. So Stewart at this point is not someone you can use until Carolina can disguise the way they have him run the ball, because Christian McCaffrey simply doesn't run the ball. If you look at his attempts, they are, I think he's about 44th in the NFL in rush attempts. He gets a ton of yardage, catch and run, definitely in PPR leagues, I get it. But he basically, as we've said all along, is a wide receiver playing running back. From the Bears' standpoint, Jordan Howard has been an RB1 in recent weeks. He's been busting off some big runs like the one to set up the field goal to beat the Ravens in overtime recently. Howard's volume significantly higher than Tariq Cohen. With Mitchell Trubisky, the numbers aren't very good. He's not contributing necessarily to any wide receiver being worth plug and play or picking up on your roster for the Bears. Ravens and Vikings, way too much purple in this game. Don't like a lot of fantasy options in this game. From the Ravens' standpoint, they've been tough to validate fantasy-wise virtually anyone all year, whether it's their backfield situation, the Macklin situation, the tight end situation, and certainly not Joe Flacco. From the Ravens, best fantasy options continue to be Justin Tucker. If you're in a league that uses a kicker, obviously, DraftKings and DFS do not, and their DST off a huge week for DST. We said in the earlier podcast, last Sunday, DSTs had 14 touchdowns. There were 14 rushing touchdowns last Sunday in the NFL. So DSTs put up as many touchdowns as there were rushing touchdowns on Sunday last week. For the Minnesota Vikings, keep checking status on Diggs. Thielen should continue to receive his share of volume. Kyle Rudolph's volume is up. And Jerick McKinnon, clearly a running back that is productive in a Pat Shurmur-coordinated offense. If you were fortunate enough to pick up McKinnon, and you were the smart one and didn't rush to Latavius Murray with the injury to Dalvin Cook, McKinnon is a very valuable performer. This isn't the greatest draw for him, but he's been pretty consistent with his numbers. He's in the flex consideration, and in most weeks going forward until further notice, he's even in RB2 consideration. Jaguars and Colts. Fournette continues to put up a touchdown and yardage every game, regardless of the fortunes of the Jaguars. He, of course, is the star performer in this game and really the only one that stands out to me. Roy Cummings wrote recently on Florida Football Insiders, this could be a game where Blake Bortles is successful, potentially to a Marquise Lee, but I don't want to put any fantasy hopes or invest anything in the likes of those guys season long or in daily games. Your mileage may vary. From the Indianapolis standpoint, T.Y. Hilton generally has his best games at home. This is a very difficult matchup against the Jaguar pass defense, specifically those corners, after Hilton on Monday night was, one catch? Something like that. Very low fantasy production in the loss to the Titans. What to do with Frank Gore, Marlon Mack without Turbin? I don't think the Colts go away from Frank Gore, but without Turbin there, this at least raises the floor a little bit for Marlon Mack to get some work. I don't think you're necessarily putting him in your lineup as an RB2. Because Frank Gore is still the number one there, and he's going to get the bulk of the carries, even though Mack had more on his first carry than Gore had almost all game in the loss to the Titans. Jets and Dolphins. All right, this is very cloudy. These are two teams that are kind of just tough to talk about. Overall, the Jets have been better than expected. The Dolphins had a surprising surge in the second half last week against the Atlanta Falcons to win that game. Jay Ajayi's had two solid games in a row. I saw another report, I believe it was via Roy Cummings, about Jay Ajayi and just how his knee doesn't allow him to be consistent or to be explosive enough, but still coming off two pretty strong games. You drafted Ajayi to be an RB1, I don't think you're sitting him in this game. Also, Jarvis Landry has had a couple of big games in a row. Devontae Parker apparently is feeling better, but Devontae Parker could be inactive for this game, and Cutler clearly has a comfort zone throwing to Jarvis Landry, building that up more week after week. Landry's not going to get you explosive plays, but the volume alone, and you hope for that red zone target, could get you by with Landry as a wide receiver two or three. From the Jets standpoint, running back situation, Elijah McGuire was basically a no-show last week in what many considered his best opportunity to get a heavy workload. There was someone in New York that wrote about him getting a big workload last week, and that was flat out wrong. So check status on Forte and Powell. They are still the favored guys in the Jets backfield. But McCown is putting up numbers as far as getting guys like Curse, Robbie Anderson, check status there, injury, and Austin Seferian Jenkins enough production to be in the conversation. Arizona and Los Angeles, my apologies to Gil Alexander, the VEASAN guys, and the VEASAN listeners who hear me with Gil, as I was quickly running down. We had some technical problems for my segment with Gil on Thursday, and as I mentioned, Arizona and the LA Rams, I didn't mention that the game was in London. I just looked down at my chart and saw Arizona, LA, and thought the game was in LA. It is in London. That makes Arizona even more appealing to me because they're a veteran team. I think they have new life with Adrian Peterson. They're not just as someone, I think it was Patrick Doherty on Roto World wrote, said normally when you add a productive running back to an offense, it hurts the fantasy fortunes of the passing offense. And Doherty said, in this case, it probably doesn't. Because Bruce Arians can use Adrian Peterson to help the passing game and create play action for Carson Palmer, who puts up basically 300 yards per game. And it might mean some not easier throws, but at least the disguise of a running play that turns into a passing play where without David Johnson for weeks, Arizona couldn't fool anybody. Yeah, go ahead and fake a handoff. Who's back there? We don't care. We know you're throwing the ball, and we're playing the pass. So Peterson doesn't seem to hurt. Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, potentially a healthy John Brown. And off that enormous week Peterson had against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and with a Ram run defense that isn't particularly strong, despite one of the better interior tackles in the game, Peterson, if you didn't play him last week and he was on your roster, look, you're not benching RB1s or consistent RB2s, but Peterson is certainly in the RB2 or flex consideration coming off that big game last week and with this matchup this week. As it relates to Todd Gurley, yes, you're still continuing to play him because he and the DST of the Rams, which I plugged and played last week, got the big kickoff return, got another touchdown out of their DST. The Rams just aren't doing virtually anything in the passing game. They're going to go as far as Gurley and their DST and Zuerlein can get them. And I have a feeling it won't be very far. But for fantasy purposes, Gurley has still been very valuable. Titans and the Browns. The Browns can continue to basically treat running an NFL team like a school project as they go back to DeShone Kizer. I don't see any reason you would start Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell, DeShone Kizer, anyone in Cleveland's wide receiver core. In this game, Tennessee is coming off a short week after the Monday night win, but that's now some more time for Mariota to get a little healthier. Maybe it was good for him to play a game as purely a pocket passer, to see some things, to do some things, to grow a little bit. And it was in a win against the Colts. So from a Tennessee standpoint, I'd be very cautious on playing DeMarco Murray in this game. I also am not getting too excited about Derrick Henry. A lot of that yardage was on a run where he had gotten the first down, and then it was like, hey, we just have open field here. And he just took it to the house after that, kind of a garbage time score that was unnecessary in actual game flow. Henry continues to be very capable, but with the injury to DeMarco Murray and what he's nursing, if he were to be inactive or we knew he was on a pitch count, then sure, Henry is a guy that you might want to get in your lineup, although the Browns somehow have one of the top six run defenses in the National Football League. Rishard Matthews worth a look in this game. And, of course, Delanie Walker, although he's below the level of the most productive tight ends in a year where a lot of tight ends are productive in fantasy. Dallas and San Francisco, Ezekiel Elliott is eligible to play in this game and draws a good matchup against the Niners. Most fantasy players are good matchups against the 49ers. Certainly Dak Prescott is. Dez Bryant has been catching touchdowns. Dez had a very tough draw in terms of cornerback coverage the first month of the season, and clearly is the top target for Dak Prescott throwing football. So in terms of Dak and Zeke and Dez, they have good matchups this week against the 49ers from a San Francisco standpoint. You do have, was it George Kittle, now having a familiar quarterback throwing to him in C.J. Beathard. So in daily, or if you're desperate for a tight end for whatever reason, or you have an extra roster spot, you're worried about a Gronk injury or something else, you know, Kittle is a guy probably worth rostering. Garcon should get his normal targets, and Carlos Hyde did have the two touchdowns last week in the continuing fantasy discussion of Hyde or Breida going forward. Seattle and the New York Giants, not a lot to get excited about for Seattle fantasy-wise, although Graham's targets have been up in recent weeks. Russell Wilson has been a QB1. I mean, we're not comparing him to some of the other star quarterbacks, but if you drafted Russell Wilson to be a QB1 and you've stuck in there, you've hung in there with him, he's given you enough to validate that QB1 draft status. Doug Baldwin, I'd say below his ADP for where you drafted him, and I'm not touching the Seattle backfield until further notice, something we say every week. Speaking of backfields, the Giants, Orleans Darkwa, a popular pickup this week, facing a Seattle run defense that still gets the benefit of the doubt, not as good as probably their reputation. Let's see what the Giants have now at home after the surprise victory as a double-digit underdog against the Denver Broncos, where Eli's attempts were down, although Evan Ingram's targets were still there. Speaking of Denver, here they are in a game against the LA Clippers/Chargers from a Denver standpoint. Without Emmanuel Sanders, you would expect Demaryius Thomas's volume to be up. Good thing for Demaryius Thomas owners, and I just like Demaryius Thomas. I've always thought highly of him. Get him volume, get him red zone targets. Veteran wide receiver there that knows how to run routes and doesn't hurt you. Could be a good spot for C.J. Anderson. I'm not buying into whoever in the Bronco organization said they want to get Jamaal Charles more touches. As we talk here on the podcast, coaches, when certain players are brought up to them about getting them going, they'll talk them up, and it doesn't mean anything. It's just trying to diffuse a story, and they don't want to badmouth their own players. So C.J. Anderson certainly looks like a play here. And as far as the roster pickup, another pickup, a popular pickup this week in place of Emmanuel Sanders is, and I'm forgetting his name right now, I apologize, just, you know, I always go off the cuff here. The Bronco wide receiver had those couple of touchdowns in the first game of the season. I'd say I'm not getting too excited about it, but I understand it as a daily bargain. You know who I'm talking about. From the Clippers/Chargers perspective, two enormous games for Melvin Gordon. There's got to be some regression here. I am a Gordon owner. I've been thrilled by his production. I don't even know if I'm playing him this week. Denver's run defense has been very good, although Darkwa got them last week. Amazing. Denver shuts down some of the best running backs in the NFL, and then Orleans Darkwa on an 0-5 Giants team goes for about 130-plus against them. I'm going to call that a one-off. Gordon been doing most of his damage on little short throws, little clear outs from Phillip Rivers. I think Denver's going to be a little bit more wise to that, although I would expect Gordon's volume to still be there, particularly through the air. Keenan Allen traditionally does not have good games against this Denver secondary. And as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, Hunter's Henry volume is up. And in the year of the fantasy tight end, Hunter Henry is now moving more consistently into the conversation and might be a good daily play because he won't be covered by either of those cornerbacks. Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, not a good matchup anytime. Just ask Alex Smith. when you're facing the Pittsburgh pass defense. But A.J. Green tends to do well against the Steelers. If you own A.J. Green, you know there are certain players you just don't bench. You have to have a lot of reasons, a lot of lack of production or an injury or something to bench certain guys that you draft in season-long leagues, and A.J. Green is one of them. And A.J. Green's having a very good season. Joe Mixon, don't know. Those of you who drafted Joe Mixon have generally been disappointed, but his volume is there. I think, 19 touches the last 3 or 4 weeks or since the switch in offensive coordinator in Cincinnati. As far as the Steelers are concerned, expect big things from Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown. Big Ben clearly showed last week he wasn't done, although he did get lucky on that what turned into a long touchdown to Antonio Brown. Probably should have been intercepted, but that's why those guys are DBs and not wide receivers. As far as any other Pittsburgh Steelers that you want to put in play this week, I think that's a dart throw. Atlanta and New England, an amazingly high Vegas total on this game, 56. So from a fantasy standpoint, what Vegas is telling you about that total is if you have Falcons and Patriots and you're on the fence, you play them. I'm not so sure. I think you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Matt Ryan is having one of the most disappointing seasons of any quarterback in fantasy football. And now he gets the Patriots defense, which generally gives up about 300 yards passing to anybody. So if Matt Ryan were to get 300 yards passing, who's going to be the beneficiary? Well, will Julio Jones finally give you a huge game? Will he finally get a red zone targets and a touchdown? I think Steve Sarkisian was a bad hire as OC of the Atlanta Falcons, and I think that's already rearing its ugly head. Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, I think they're both worth playing this week. It looks like Austin Hooper has been a beneficiary of the Mohamed Sanu injury more so than Taylor Gabriel. Check the status of Sanu. As far as New England is concerned, Brandon Cook's looking at those numbers again. I know it was a slow start, but the receiving yard numbers are pretty good. This thing will trend up the more he and Brady work together, the more comfortable Brady gets with him. Down week for Hogan last week, but still someone that if you own him is valuable to you as a wide receiver 2 or 3 or a flex play. Gronk seems healthy, so this could be a good spot for him. And I'm not getting too excited about Deion Lewis. I saw something that says that Deion Lewis, because of Mike Gillislee's fumble problems and lack of production in recent weeks, Lewis could get the red zone rushes instead of Mike Gillislee. Again, I don't want my fantasy fortunes to rest on that in a season-long league as a daily bargain at the running back position or the flex. I could see you using Deion Lewis. One more Sunday game, Buccaneers and Bills. I had this at the bottom of the board because the Jameis Winston status. One interesting thing you could do in daily, if you really want to go with the contrarian play, is Fitzmagic or a Tyrod Taylor in this game. Something tells me that one or both of them might be worthwhile just because of the odd nature of this game. The questions about whether or not Jameis, can play, can throw the ball, and Tyrod Taylor now without Charles Clay. McCoy's been unable to get in the end zone this year. They've used Tolbert on short yardage. Taylor looks like the best weapon for Buffalo. Quarterbacks are very interesting to me in this game, but from a daily contrarian standpoint, not necessarily in a season-long league. Is Zay Jones worth picking up in a season-long league? I don't know. I'm a fan of Zay Jones. You would think. I mean, he's had targets even when Charles Clay was out there, just wasn't doing anything with them. this is more of a let me see who gets the volume and what they do with it game for the Bills against a Buccaneer pass defense that tends to give up a lot of yardage. From the Tampa Bay standpoint, Doug Martin's had a couple of good games in a row, validating his RB2 or flex play status. Cameron Brate continues to prove my point that the Bucs had no business wasting a first-round draft pick on O.J. Howard, who's basically a glorified extra tackle, and that's it. Mike Evans continues to produce. It's not spectacular, but Mike Evans, to this point in the season, is a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy production. All right, so Monday night game, give you a quick thought on that, even though we will have a Monday podcast for you with the Redskins and the Eagles. You know, here's the Redskins. Kirk Cousins is putting up numbers, and you don't know where those numbers are going. With the Eagles, Carson Wentz is putting up numbers, and a lot of guys are putting up those numbers with him in terms of who's catching the ball. With Kirk Cousins, the first name that stands out to me is Chris Thompson. He's kind of like a Christian McCaffrey. In terms of his production, he makes more big plays. He doesn't get as many touches, but the production is certainly there. They tried to let him run the ball last week. It didn't really work, but maybe they're trying to sell those short passing plays to Chris Thompson and keep him in space. Jordan Reed, very modest average per catch. Vernon Davis has actually been more explosive. Redskin wide receivers. The Redskin wide receiver core is like the Seattle Seahawks running backs. That's what it looks like to me. From the Eagles standpoint, though, you got a lot of guys putting up numbers thanks to Carson Wentz. Zach Ertz, Nelson Aguilar, very quietly having one of the surprise seasons for wide receivers in fantasy football. And if you own him, you've been very happy with him. If you haven't been playing him, he is in the flex play consideration, or when you need to plug and play a wide receiver on a bye week. He has now earned that status. Running back more from Blunt recently, check status on Smallwood. All right, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, again, is presented by Hooters, 12 Tampa Bay locations, daily lunch special starting at $6, and $15 gets you a bucket of 5 Corona, Corona Light, or Modelo bottles. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. And always a wonderful place to spend a few hours on your weekend, catching up on sports, conversation with your friends, and enjoying the wonderful scenery and company and conversation of the world-famous Hooters girls. I thank Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I've got a golf tournament to host on Sunday at the Eagles Golf Club. Remember, save the date. My next big tournament will be the weekend before the Super Bowl, the last weekend of January. Save the date. I'll have an announcement shortly on the venue for that tournament and how you can get signed up. And for any unique questions that you have for your season-long fantasy football team, in terms of matchups, who you're starting this week, drop ads, trade offers, etc., or DFS questions, you're always encouraged to email me. I've responded to everyone all season. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Enjoy your weekend.